Scintillating restaurants, gorgeous gourmet tidbits, the latest news for foodies, the main ingredient with Kelly Brett, a fresh taste in radio.
Welcome back. Well, summer is well and truly here. Earlier in the show, we looked at ways to ensure that your barbecue is safe for the summer. And of course, if you're talking barbecue, that usually means you're talking meat. However, meat is no longer just a sausage or a steak chucked on the barbie. Ethical gourmets now require an animal's complete CV, including birthplace and the age and details of the animal's diet before ordering their meat at a restaurant. Meat explores a category of food that inspires intense emotions and reactions. And my next guest, Sasha Wisanski, says we humans are animals and many of us regularly eat other animals. For some, of course, this is a basic fact of life, and for others it's a bit of a moral quandary. That's why Sasha Wisanski and Amy Standen have created Meat Paper, a new magazine that looks at the all-at-once divisive and universal, delicious and disturbing, funny and dead serious world of meat. Sasha, welcome to The Main Ingredient.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on. Now, look, when I first heard about Meat Paper, I expected to find a sort of a newsletter-type publication featuring 101 tips on the best cuts and the rarest breeds and recipes for the barbecue, but Meat Paper is so, so much more than that. How was it born?
Well, it originally started as an art project, and this sounds a bit funny, but an artist friend and I had decided to make a book about eating meat for 24 hours in New York City. And we started the project and realized we couldn't do it because it made us too ill. But what I found during the process while getting ready for this project is that every person that I talked to was incredibly excited about the topic and couldn't wait to start talking about meat, whether it was their own relationship to it, their favorite restaurants, meat stories, meat history, their own history of vegetarianism or abandoning vegetarianism.
That's the interesting thing about Meat Paper, is it's not just for meat lovers. It covers all of the ethical sides and everything else, doesn't it?
Exactly. We think it would really limit the story if we only provided one point of view.
Obviously, if you were going to eat nothing but meat for 24 hours, you're a meat eater.
I am. I consider myself an omnivore. I was a vegetarian for 7 years, but I came back to eating meat.
So why did you go back again?
For me, it was mostly just sort of a physical feeling. I feel like meat is very good for me. I feel like I was designed to be an omnivore. I felt healthier and better while eating meat.
You need that little dose of protein every now and then.
I think so.
Mm. Now, I have to ask you, what is a fleshgeist?
A fleshgeist.
I Googled it, but they gave me nothing.
We coined the term to describe the current momentum in meat, around meat in the culture, particularly in the U.S., because people are becoming more enthusiastic about meat, and it's not just chefs and people who dine in restaurants and people who cook at home, but it's artists and other sort of producers of culture who have kind of focused on meat as an idea and an image and a symbol.
It is such an interesting thing. The contents of your magazine, Meat Paper, has some amazing stories in there. Tell us a little bit about what we can find inside in this. This is the very first issue.
Yes. Well, we came out with an issue which we're calling Issue Zero because it was a sample. It was very informally distributed, and we're working on our first distributed issue right now, which will be out September 1. And we, in the sample issue, we really hoped to pull together from a variety of different disciplines to give a really good sense of the kind of content we will be publishing. Mm. We have a full page, a double page spread of a photograph of a world map carved in Spam by a San Francisco artist named Mike Arcega. And he talks a little bit about Spam for him is a symbol of American cultural imperialism, because Spam has been disseminated around the world and has become a part of all of these regional cuisines.
Well, they've even got a musical about it now.
Did you?
Yes, oh, spam a lot.
I haven't seen it yet. Yes. I need to see that as part of my meat education.
You do. That's You've got heaps of things in there, though. There's also an article about the annual pig slaughter in a small Italian town.
That's right. A photographer and designer named John Caserta got a Fulbright to study the traditions in this Italian town and to make a documented snapshot of it. It was a town where his father grew up. And in this the town used to be a pig farming town, but they're no longer allowed to slaughter their own pigs by law. All pig slaughter has to happen in government-sanctioned slaughterhouses. But occasionally, there is a traditional pig slaughter, and everybody comes together to slaughter the pig and prepare its various parts. And after many months, he was allowed to witness and document this process.
And be there with the whole village.
Yes, exactly. And he took these really stunning large format color photos, which hadn't been published anywhere. We were really proud to include them in our first issue.
Yeah, it's fabulous stuff. Now, I like the article on eating the nasty bits.
Yes.
It seems that offal is not as awful as we once thought.
Exactly. Chef Chris Cosentino is a San Francisco chef who is very outspoken about the importance of respecting the whole animal by cooking all of its parts and eating them. And he's really looked backwards to traditional modes of preparation to prepare tripe and kidneys and a lot of things that were really considered not food by the American palate. And he's really trying to bring that back, but in a more traditional approach.
That's changing a lot, though, isn't it, now? It's becoming much, much more acceptable to eat offal.
Absolutely.
You've even got a meat artist there, Sasha.
Yes, exactly. That's a huge theme of the magazine. We really believe that meat has been a consistent subject in the history of art since the beginning of representational artwork. And we're hoping to have articles from art history and also about contemporary artists who use meat as work as a medium or as a subject in their work now. So that will be a consistent thread throughout the magazine. We're also hoping to commission and inspire artists to create new works about meat.
Some of the design work is fabulous. I mean, I even noticed there's a little poem about ham flowers. Well, it's not really about ham flowers. That's not what the poem's about. But there's a picture there of flowers created out of little finely sliced ham.
Yes.
It's very, very clever stuff.
I photographed that in my living room.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Fantastic stuff. Well done.
Thank you.
Now, listen, on the website you say meat polarizes us unlike any other food. It's the Hillary Clinton of the freezer aisle. Explain.
Explain. Well, you know, there really are a lot of camps. And what we found, which is really interesting, is that when we tell people that we're doing a magazine about meat, everybody has an assumption about what we mean by that. Mm. And a lot of people just immediately assume, you know, we're from the PETA, this, you know, radical vegetarian group, and we're really advocating an anti-meat lifestyle. Or if we we're publishing a photograph of a slaughter, then we must be against meat. Other people think, you know, we're going to be, featuring only articles about recipes and interviews with chefs.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. But that's really not what we're about. I mean, we think we're so interested in the fact that people are so passionate about meat, which is why we've created this very interdisciplinary approach to talk about all the issues.
And you do that really well. From what I've seen on the website at the moment, it's really, really well balanced. I think there's something in there for everyone. So well done. Now, look, before I let you go, I saw something on your site about meat hats. People don't really wear meat hats, do they?
I don't think so. That website has been around forever, and we thought we should link to it.
It's excellent. Yeah, I had a look at it, but, God, I couldn't really imagine Abraham Lincoln wearing a top hat made from steak.
Certainly not, and I've never seen anybody walking around with a meat hat, not even here in San Francisco, where you do see some very interesting outfits.
You do have some very eclectic people over there, don't you?
This is true.
All right. Well, listen, you can find out more about Sasha and Meat Paper at their website, www.meatpaper.com. Sasha, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Congratulations on Meat Paper. I hope we can check in again with you in the not-too-distant future.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been great to have you on.
Bye.
This is The Main Ingredient with Kelly Brett.